Today is Transfiguration Sunday. We heard about Jesus changing before the face of those three chosen apostles up on the mount. As Jesus was up there with them, and before the apostles even really knew what was happening, Jesus was met with two great men from history, Moses and Elijah. If you recall your biblical history, you know that both of these men had unique ways of exiting this world. Elijah was taken up in the chariot of fire. Elisha saw him, and then he was in Elijah's vision, and then he was not. Moses, on the other hand, did die, but God himself buried him. You may have heard before that the reason for these two men appearing was to represent the law and the prophets. Moses for the law, and Elijah for the prophets. Now, earlier we heard about Moses, but we did not hear about Elijah. So this morning we'll explore the significance of why we use the Old Testament text about Moses, why he may have been chosen for this Sunday. Moses went up from the plains of Moab to Mount Nebo, to the top of Pisgah, which is opposite Jericho. And the Lord showed him all the land. And the Lord said to him, "This is the land of which I swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to your offspring. I have let you see it with your eyes, but you shall not go over there." If, on the other hand, you do not recall your biblical history, you may not remember why Moses was not permitted to enter the promised land. Back in their wandering through the wilderness, the Israelites had grown thirsty, not recalling the many things that the Lord had done since delivering them from Egypt through the Red Sea and drowning hard-hearted Pharaoh. They complained once more to Moses and Aaron, accusing them of bringing them out of the wilderness, out into the wilderness to die. So Moses and Aaron once again went to the Lord about the subject. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Take the staff and assemble the congregation, you and Aaron your brother, and tell the rock before their eyes to yield its water. So you shall bring water out of the rock for them and give drink to the congregation and to their cattle." And Moses took the staff from before the Lord as he commanded him. Yet what Moses said and what he did were not what God had commanded. He said to them, "Hear now, you rebels, shall we bring water for you out of this rock?" And Moses lifted up his hand and struck the rock with his staff twice. And water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their livestock. And the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "Because you did not believe in me to uphold me as holy in the eyes of the people of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land that I have given them." God is indeed merciful and forgiving, but sin has its consequences. In the case of Moses striking the rock twice, when he had been told simply to speak to it, and of saying, "Shall we bring water?" Moses had not kept God as the holy leader of the Israelites. God forgave him and even allowed him to see the land from afar, but he did not allow him to enter the land because of his sin. To be clear, all sin before God is evil. The sin of one of God's leaders is just as bad as the sin of one of God's people. There is forgiveness for each, but there may well be consequence and punishment as well. That is why there are pastors who go to visit inmates who are on death row. Those prisoners can be forgiven, but they will still face their punishment. After all, the criminal who hung next to Jesus was not taken down after he came to Jesus, but Jesus did promise to remember him in paradise, that he would be there with him in paradise. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord, and he buried him in the valley in the land of Moab, opposite Beth Peor. But no one knows the place of his burial to this day. Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was undimmed, and his vigor was unabated, And the people of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. Then the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. So why did the people of Israel mourn and weep when Moses died? Because Moses, like the law and the prophets, had pointed them to the coming Christ. Moses had showed the people the undeserved mercy of God the first time that he struck the rock and water flowed from it. This time having been instructed by the Lord to strike the rock and water flowed in the book of Exodus. Moses had led the people of God out of Egypt through the Red Sea, foreshadowing the gift of baptism that we would receive later, and that we would also desire for our children and grandchildren to follow us. A baptism in the name of the Father and of the Son, that is Jesus, the Christ to come, and of the Holy Spirit. Moses had made God's word plain to the people, both when they wanted to hear it and when they did not want to hear it. And again, God himself buried Moses. Only so many people of the Old Testament left the world in such unique ways. There were certainly a couple more than just Moses and Elijah, yet they were the two chosen to represent the law and the prophets with Jesus up on the Mount of Transfiguration. It was not because they were without sin. Again, sin is the very reason that Moses was not permitted to enter the land. Yet in our gospel text, Moses was permitted to see Jesus before he would begin his journey to Calvary. Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands on him. So the people of Israel obeyed him and did as the Lord had commanded Moses. And there has not arisen a prophet since in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, none like him for all the signs and wonders that the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his servants and to all his land, and for all the mighty power and all the great deeds of terror that Moses did in the sight of all Israel. Moses did indeed die at the end of Deuteronomy, having lived 120 years. He was succeeded by Joshua, the son of Nun. And Moses was allowed to see Jesus before the redemption of the world. In somewhat of a foretaste to come, Jesus' apostles saw Moses with Elijah, what seems to be in their bodies, speaking to the Lord Jesus. At the end of time, we will also have our bodies once again. Your scriptures tell us that the dead will be raised, and we will be changed in the twinkling of an eye, and we will see the Lord for ourselves with our own eyes, not with those of another, with our own eyes at the end of time. Only in the promised land, then we shall enter the promised land, the new heavens and the new earth. Only in this promised land, we shall not still be here on the earth, because this earth shall be destroyed by fire. We will not still sin, because sin will have been wiped out. But we will have bodies again, because God created us to be alive, both spiritually and bodily. That is the end for which Jesus would go from meeting Moses and Elijah with his apostles. He would go on to the cross, willingly, bodily, to suffer the pains which we all rightly deserved. He would endure them all for you and for me. And then he will pronounce those great words, "It is finished." Your salvation is finished in Jesus Christ. His great end, his conception, life, death, and resurrection. Right now we are only heading toward that great end, but we know it to be true. We know it's true because both the Old Testament and the New Testament, both the law and the prophets, bear witness to it, just as they did in the Old Testament, and just as they did in the New Testament, standing with the Lord, speaking with him about his departure, which would be for your sake and for mine. In Jesus' name, amen.